are listening to Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Thursday, May the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And I'm Tom Baker, and with us, because it's a Ruminations Thursday, is my good friend and co-host, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Dr. Baker. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, and we've got an exciting topic today. Heaven is for Real, a bestseller in the New York Times bestseller list by Todd Burpa, who is the father of Colton, who supposedly during his serious surgery from which he recovered had gone to heaven and came back with all kinds of interesting facts about heaven, many of them which contradict the Bible. But you saw the movie. I did not. Do you have any summary thoughts of that? Because you also read the book.
Right. I think one of the things that sticks out for me from the book and also from the movie is he never died. He went through the surgery. He went through a time. But see, he enters into heaven. And, you know, the Bible tells us we only enter into heaven after we've died, not while we're still living. And I picked up, as you know, I picked up a book called Erasing Death that's put out by a medical doctor. And one of his contentions would be it goes into our consciousness, and he says there's a lot of unexplained things that go on, or probably the term that we would use on the street is we had a dream about it.
Yes, or a vision or something along that line.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the father even tells him on one of the pages in the book, Heaven is for Real, that he did not die. And if he had these visions, then he must have died. And then Colton just says, well, I guess I did. In other words, he's not even sure he died, but if he had to have these visions after death, there's something very interesting about what visions of heaven he has. Like all Greek and Hebrew words in the Bible, they often have different meanings. And when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven, there's at least three of them that we can think of, different ways of thinking of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, Jesus brings in the kingdom of heaven is now among you, and we would refer to that as the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the Holy Christian Church.
Right.
Then we have, after you die, the interim, it's called, when your spirit is with Jesus and your body's in the grave, and then you have the heaven after judgment day where your body is restored. But what does Colton see in regard to, let's say, the body of his grandfather? Does he see it?
Yes, that's a very good point. Not only it would be his great-grandfather, I believe.
Yes.
And he sees his body. He also sees a body of a sister that was never born, that was lost in a miscarriage. And, in the interim, we're in a spirit. Our spirits go to heaven to be with Jesus, or in paradise, you know.
So there would be no seeing of new bodies. And what he really had a vision of, according to him, was heaven after judgment day, if they had bodies.
Yes, I found that interesting, too. That means we're not here anymore.
That's right. Yeah. And that's really odd that something like that would be said. You mentioned about the sister, because there is the question, since according to the parents, they never told him, how would he know that a sister had miscarried? Now, what I'm finding out, Wes, and I'm looking here to a later interview about Todd and Sonia. After the miscarriage took place, here's what they say. They insist they had never talked about the miscarriage because they were so traumatized by it. So they say they never talked about it. But guess what I find on page 95 of Heaven is for Real? I knew what my wife had to be feeling. This is after the miscarriage. Losing that baby was the most painful event of her life. We had explained it to Casey. She was older. That's his older sister. But we hadn't told Colton. So there's an absolute contradiction where the book says they did say it to their sister. Now, I don't know who your siblings were. I had two brothers. But I'll tell you this. If I ever heard something from my parents that they didn't know, it wasn't long before I was telling them. The idea that Casey would never tell Colton that there was a sister who had died in a miscarriage, that's really far-fetched to believe. Especially when Todd and Sonia insist they never talked about it, but on page 95 of the book, they specifically say they told Casey.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, there's just too many loopholes that it possibly could be explained through an older sister, another sister that was born and was older, could talk to Casey about it. And it's not to say that they didn't discuss it somehow between themselves, and he was in earshot, not thinking that he could listen to it.
Right. Another thing that they say, this is on page 68, how can my little boy know the stuff, that is the details? Could he have picked up such details from the Bible stories we read to the kids? But again, the stories in the Bible storybooks we read to him were very narrative-oriented and just a couple of hundred words each, not at all heavy on details, like Jesus wearing white and no details on what heaven might be like. So I'm thinking, well, how did Colton know this? But then listen to what is said on page 66. I knew by heart all the Bible stories we read him over the years, many from the Arch series Bible storybooks I'd had as a child. Can you explain to me what the Arch books are?
Those Arch books come out of Concordia Publishing House, and they're an excellent series to read to our children. It gives them some very good insights to angels, the birth of Jesus, Elijah, Noah, the resurrection, just a whole host of different stories that they tell, not in detail, but in picture and in words.
Well, you just said it. They're short Bible stories written specifically for children with hundreds and hundreds of drawings. And if you take a look back at the Arch books that were available at that point, and just look under the Christmas series, you see angels, for example, and you see them with halos on their head and so forth. And I can't but believe that when he's reading these Arch books to Colton, he's not also pointing out the pictures. And many of them come from the Arch books. The other thing I think that happened on December the 21st, 1993, this was way before Colton was born, VeggieTales came out. And VeggieTales also has drawings and video that deal with some of the things that Colton said he saw in heaven.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And he saw a rainbow horse in heaven, and I did some internet searching, and there is a rainbow horse that was used for children in some children's program that I wasn't able to quite trace down, that he very possibly could have seen that on a video series.
Well, you pointed out something I was unaware of. Tell us a little bit about Richard Hook.
Ah, well, as many Christians out there, it isn't just only Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but other churches have a picture of Jesus that Richard Hook put out, and very popular. But I got to looking at the picture that they had in the book of Jesus, that this is the Jesus that he saw. And I said, you know, it's just a leaner. You change the hairdo. Just a couple minor things here and there, and you got the same picture, Hook and Jesus, that he has in the book.
Yes, and if they're using the Arch books, they probably had the CPH book where you could order a lot of other materials, and that picture of Jesus is found in there, the Richard Hook picture.
Right.
Now, I think with our short time here, we need to examine some of the items that are additions to the Bible that are not found in the Bible. Who does Colton say is sitting at the left hand of God the Father? Jesus is at the right. Do you remember who he says at the left?
Well, I do know that they put a chair there for him. I didn't know whether it was the left or the right for him to sit at.
But who's sitting there?
Well, they had Colton said that they had a chair for him.
No, there was probably a chair. He actually is on page 101, the angel Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he saw Gabriel.
That's right. And that, of course, is an addition to the Bible. Now, why does that worry us? Because the Bible is very clear in Revelation. Anybody who adds or subtracts from the revelation of this book, you know, shall be accursed. And there are so many things that Colton says that are also in disagreement with Scripture. For example, everybody has what when they get to heaven, he says?
A body.
And wings.
Oh, yes, and he had the wings factor. You said add or subtract. Are you referring to Galatians?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, you said Revelation.
No. Uh-huh. Revelation is where it says anybody who adds or subtract. It's in at the back of the book of Revelation.
It also, Paul talks about it too in Galatians.
Oh, it's found throughout the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy. You know, where anybody who adds or subtracts to this, they're really in big trouble.
Right.
And so on page 133, why do the angels carry swords? He says, so that they can keep Satan out of heaven. I mean, Jesus is pretty clear. Satan was thrown out of heaven during his passion, and now his only place is here on earth. The swords don't need to be carried by the angels to keep Satan out. God has taken care of that.
Right.
On page 137, Colton is telling his father that when he gets to heaven, he's going to be fighting monsters like dragons and stuff. And he even goes so far to say that his father will have a choice between a sword or a bow and arrow to fight these monsters.
Hmm.
Now, who would look forward to heaven if we got to be fighting dragons and stuff in heaven?
Yeah, see, those things are all gone. The fighting is over. The victory is won.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly correct. Another section is... It is clear from the book, Heaven is for Real, that the Bible is no longer sufficient. What's that famous verse in 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is?
Inspired.
Yes, and is profitable for man, so that the man is thoroughly equipped.
Right. Well, when you quote that 2 Timothy passage, he really starts it out. The childhood that you have known from the sacred writings, which gives you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, and that is inspired for teaching, reproof, correction, training to equip you for every good work.
See, the Lutheran Reformation was all about that the way we find comfort is only through Holy Scripture. There is no other source. But time and time again, they find a stronger faith because of what Colton has said. And I've written, you can either be comforted by a sure promise from the Bible or from the dream vision of a 3.5-year-old child. Which one would you choose?
I would take the Bible. You know, it's interesting, too. You know, last week's gospel lesson was the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
And I find it interesting when you read it that Jesus prevented them from recognizing him. It could have been easy that he just showed himself, said, see, here I am. But he doesn't do that. He explains from the Scriptures.
Yes.
Who he is and what he has done. And then when it's the breaking of the bread, then they reveal, where does Christ wish to be found? In his word. You know, the only person that really come back from the dead after 3 days has been Christ. And what he points us to? He points us to his word.
Right. And one would have thought there are a couple of other people who came back, like Lazarus. And that was after 3 days. But there's not a mention by Lazarus about what heaven is like. You would have thought for sure. Paul talks about having a vision, but then he goes on to say that there are no words in human language that can even describe it.
Well, what he said, caught up into the paradise, I heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak.
Exactly.
In other words, the language up there is different.
Let's go to the phone lines at 821-0850 in Missouri, St. Louis, or long distance 1-800-730-2727. And we're talking to John in California. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning. And
hey,
Pastor Reinitz.
Thank you so much for your straightforward review and discussion on this movie, Heaven is for Real. I was so disappointed to hear a review from another Lutheran organization by Pastor Geese, who basically gave a very lighthearted review of this and almost encouraged people to go see it. I'm so glad to hear you speaking the truth. This is why I love listening to your program.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes, you know, the devil is really smart. He doesn't come out in this book and say things that Christians would really disagree with. He adds to the Bible, but he's just like the way he got Adam and Eve into sin. He just questioned God, and they wanted to become like God. See, that's at the basis of all sin. What Colton has become is the spokesperson for God. It's like he's another apostle, that God isn't serious, that the Bible is sufficient, but now we need to have a 3.5-year-old teach us in order to comfort us.
Yeah, you know, we discussed this in our Wednesday Bible class yesterday. You know what's interesting? You know what Bible passage they came up with?
No.
1 Samuel 28, where Saul was before the witch of Endor.
Oh, yes.
And they pointed out, and I thought, which is interesting, of course, he's a spirit and a medium, and they were supposed to be kicked out and not sought out, but they did anyway. And she wants him to conjure, he wants her to conjure up Saul, or Samuel, who had passed away. And she says, quote, I see a divine being coming out of the earth. And he said to her, what is the form? And she said, an old man coming up and wrapped up with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. She didn't say it was Samuel, but, you know, sleight of hand.
Yes.
He makes that assumption. And they said, you just can't be sure. The only thing you have that's sure is the word.
That's right. I want to go back to John a little bit here. A lot of people don't even mention that Todd Burpub, who wrote the book, The Father of Colton, is a Wesleyan pastor. And we need to understand that Wesleyans also have an Arminian background, which means that they believe that God has given human beings true freedom to accept or reject salvation. So they are definitely anti-sacramental, with no understanding of infant baptism. So I found it interesting that they had no assurance that their unborn child had gone to heaven. This is on page 97.
Right.
It says, even though the Bible is largely silent on this point, we had accepted it on faith, but now, and listen to this, we had an eyewitness. And they're referring to their 3.5-year-old son, Colton, that now they are comforted, not by scripture, but by some 3.5-year-old kid who, you know, has an imagination, has dreams. And remember, the devil, one of the big Bible verses I want people to remember is the devil is like a spirit, a lying spirit, and that he has the possibility of bringing people into a wrong understanding of God. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of
light.
Yes.
Yep.
I think that was the most sad thing. Listen to this. On page 150, after hearing Colton, I had accepted the idea of heaven before, but now I visualize it. before I'd heard, but now I know that someday I'm going to see it.
You know, the other Bible passage that I took a look at was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, it's, be of good courage, knowing that we are still home in the body. We are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes, that's a really good verse to use here. They put out a new 32-page picture book on this, and Colton was interviewed, and he remarked how people were getting peace and hope from his book. Mm. Now, this is totally contrary to Reformation thinking that the means of grace is word and sacrament, not some dreams of a 3.5-year-old that Satan, the angel of light, could have put into his mind. Satan has that kind of possibility. One of the things Jeffrey Gibbs, you know him, he's a professor at Concordia Seminary. He did a pretty good analysis of this book, and here's what he concludes. I have concluded that this book is seriously flawed and offers little, if any, positive or lasting contribution to Christian understanding.
Mm.
I think that's an excellent summary.
And I could believe it. You know, Jeff Gibbs and I were classmates at the seminary.
Really?
Yep. Good scholar. Very intelligent.
Oh, I tell you, I just love his analysis of Matthew on the treasure in the field. I think he does that better. Now, one of the things I also found is it's not just Christians that have these out-of-body experiences, but there is a Muslim. And he says basically the same kind of stuff. He had a serious surgery, and here's what he said, that during that surgery, my soul or spirit left my body. I was flying upward around the balloon-like curved right-hand rim of the universe. I still had a body, but it was ethereal, and in front of me was a long luminous table, and seated there were beings bathed in light, but human in form. They had heads and bodies and were robed in white, but I could not make out their faces. Were there angels, judges? I don't know. I think there were 10 of them. And he goes on, and it sounds like heaven is for real. The same kind of visions, and this is from a Muslim.
Yes. That earlier I mentioned that book, Erasing Death. The doctor brings that out. He says, he of the many people that they've interviewed, based on their religious experience, whether it's Christian, Muslim, Jewish, you name it, that they come up with it. And, of course, they are of a mind that it's their consciousness, so it's their dream state in which they've encountered while they're going through that death process.
Okay, in the remaining time, I want to talk theologically what's really bad about this book. It actually was spoken of in 1518 by Martin Luther with the Heidelberg Disputation, as he made the distinction between the theologian of glory and the theologian of the cross. And the theologian of glory looks to his experience, his dreams, his imagination to discover God's attitude toward him. So if the crops fail, God is angry. If the crops are bountiful, God is pleased. So the whole goal of the self-glory theologian is to placate or appease an angry God by our works, words, and thoughts. But the theologian of the cross looks only to Holy Scripture and finds everything he needs there.
Right. And there we would say, heaven and earth pass away, but my words will never pass away. Or we take a look at, we walk by faith, not by sight. We look to the signs that God has given to us, which is his word, baptism, and Lord's Supper.
And one of the things that Luther made a point of is much of what God is hidden from us. The hidden God he talked about. And what books like Heaven is for Real try to do is to reveal that hiddenness of God, that God wants us to just stay by faith rather than by any kind of evidence or visions or dreams or this sort of thing in order to come to the conclusion, wow, this really is true because now I have an eyewitness.
And I think that brings us full circle back to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where beginning with Moses and the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them concerning himself all the scriptures.
And it was that that caused their hearts to burn with joy.
Yes.
Yes. And then finally, when Jesus did finally allow them to see himself for whom he was, then they rushed back to tell everybody about it. But you made a very important point. It's through word and sacrament that people are to find comfort and grace, not by the dreams and visions of some 3.5-year-old who could be inspired by the devil as the angel of light.
I agree.
Very, very dangerous book. And I would encourage people, I still think you should have Bible studies on it to point these things out. Thanks so much, Wes. God bless you, and hopefully next week. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, where we can continue to speak about these items to your heart's content. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.